Hello and welcome to Health Matters. I am your holiday host and radio health evangelist.
That's about the only holiday thing you got to say. I mean, you need to think of something a little bit more.
Hey, you totally abandoned the Hallow Thanksmas season this year. You abandoned it. You left it laying on the curb. It's dying over there.
This is a good point. Now, it was probably about 7 or 8 years ago.
Before, and yes, we were on the air then.
Yes, before the recession, we became very uncomfortable with the fact that the stores started flipping their displays around Columbus Day, and they merged Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas into one buying, eating, costume-bedecked shopping spree. And it went all the way through till mid-January, till basically the parking lot started opening up again after people had their returns. I think the recession killed the Hallow Thanksmas season more than anything else. I don't feel as uncomfortable with the amount of buying and advertising as I used to. You're right. Hallow Thanksmas was not a big part of our celebration, but we're
a big
back.
Part. It was not a part.
Fair enough. Okay. Hey, look,
I am here, if nothing more than to call a spade a spade.
All right.
Hello, so, Mr. Spade.
So here we are. Rick's, so far, let's just review.
The other guy on the radio.
Introduced the show and introduced myself. Rick so far has said ho, 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 and has lit into me about the fact that I changed my approach due to the economic recession.
I'm saying the holiday shopping guide part two is coming fairly late in the holiday shopping season.
Well, much later than I thought, because I can't even start the show. Thanks to our listeners to True Talk Internet Radio, here from, apparently, from the University of Kentucky, or perhaps maybe from Grinchland.
For now.
The manager of communications infrastructure, to tell you about our web presence, Rick Phillips. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Tony. Hallow Thanksmas to you, too. WMKY.org. What is that? Well, guess what? That is the Morehead State Public Radio website, WMKY.org. Go there and listen to the audio of the show. You can read the little summary. You can get an idea of how much fun we were going to have or we did have. Or it's all there in summary form. But really, click on the link. Listen to that MP3 file. Save it off. We're talking about holiday shopping. You want a good gift for one of your loved ones. Put this on a CD, put it in a form that they, can listen to, give it to them, and let them listen to the gift of Health Matters. I mean, let's face it, we can make a rainy day rainier. Right?
Yeah.
Only we can make a rainy day wetter. Audio of the show is WMKY.org. If you by chance know what a podcast is, if you like doing podcasting, if you're a subscriber to podcasts, there's a link right there. You can do a search for us on iTunes if you like iTunes and that's your way to do it. Don't look for the little short shows. Go for the 60-minute Health Matters. Take your full dose of Health Matters. After that, jump over to Facebook.com. Yes, we're old. We like Facebook. Get on there. It's a fan page. It's Facebook.com/HM Radio Show, and there you will be able to interact with Health Matters. That's right. We do monitor it. We do crack jokes on it. We do put comments on there. We put research. You have a chance to put your comments on there and give us feedback, show topics. Instead of the Hallow Thanksmas season, we have, in fact, had listener comments up there. We've had listener show suggestions. We've done segments on particular things that were recommended out there or suggested. So it is certainly your way to interact with the Health Matters staff. Facebook.com/HM Radio Show.
But please don't accuse us of bad analysis. I mean, we know we have bad analysis. We don't need to be reminded of that. It's just it's just opening up an old wound. Our sponsor for today's show, Ladder Safety, reminding you Christmas gets a lot better if you fall off a ladder. You know I love the ladder safety tips, Rick, and I get one more chance this holiday season to talk about them. In November and December 2010, more than 13,000 people were treated in emergency rooms nationwide due to ladder injuries. They peak during the holiday season. 250 injuries a day.
That's a lot of Christmas lights.
It's a lot of falling.
Whoever came up with the idea of putting the tree topper on, the little star on the Christmas tree, causes a lot of people to be injured.
Yeah, maybe we need bucket trucks. I don't know.
It's the nature. See, really what we need to do, Tony, really, we need to literally turn the Christmas tree upside down, the whole concept, because that way you're not having to lean in to do all that work. See, the way the Christmas tree kind of angles up, you can't put the ladder close to the center of the tree because of the bottom of it, right? So
right.
If we turn the Christmas tree upside down.
Or we start growing cylindrical trees. I mean, there are several solutions to this problem.
I think Maui's easier.
Yeah,
I think my way is much easier. I think you're talking about some genetics that just, it's going to be difficult to solve.
You're going
to
make the whole living room higgledy-piggledy. Where are you going to put the presents? Are you putting that under the star? I don't
well, just think how much more room there would be for presents if there wasn't
a tree.
A tree.
Oh, this is a great idea.
You know, what if we just put a hook on the ceiling and we hung it from the ceiling?
Let's just basically get a bucket.
We'll get a front-end loader
and just dump all the presents in the living room. Merry Christmas, everyone.
You must have a wonderful Christmas if you can bring the presents in with a front loader.
250 injuries a day. Most commonly falls at 34%. Lacerations, 11%. Back strains, 10%. Put your ladder on level and firm ground. Just a reminder, don't go out on a limb with your ladder. I've seen so many times we think, okay, we'll just do this real quick. This is not steady, but it probably doesn't matter. And the results of that can absolutely ruin a holiday season and much of the spring. Make sure it can support your weight and the load you're putting on it. That's the thing. When you look at that weight rating, remember that's you plus whatever you're carrying.
Gee, thanks.
I know.
Believe me, Tony, are you strong enough to carry something that's heavy?
And let me just say, well, I'm not strong enough to carry my ladder, but I have not seen, of all the ladder injuries, I have not seen one due to too heavy a load, too much weight. I know those things happen, but in most cases, what I see is the ladder being set up improperly in the first place.
I quit buying wood ladders 100 pounds ago. I mean, a while ago.
Beware of wet leaves and frosty wood. Frosty wood.
Hey. My wife, I love my wife dearly. Frosty wood caused another fall at our house.
Yeah. When you have that decking wood and when it gets frosty, it is slick as ice.
And we found it had just a little hint of moss on it as well, so you can imagine.
Frosty, mossy wood.
Yep. That's dangerous.
Not a good thing. Set up the ladders at about a 75-degree angle, and this is my, but not Rick's. You remember from last year, Rick did not like this, but if you stand straight with your toes touching the feet of the ladder, your palms should touch the rung that is at shoulder level. So extend your hands with your palms out. Your palms should touch the rung.
Do you go to the next higher one if you're in the middle? Do you round up or down?
I usually round up the way I do it. Your palms should touch the rung at shoulder level, or you can do the 4-to-1 rule. If you're 4 feet up the ladder, the base should be 1 feet out the wall.
I thought you were going to say if you were 4 foot tall.
You're 4 feet tall, you're going to need a lot of ladders. Don't use a metal ladder near power lines. Yes, this does happen. If a helper hold the bottom of the ladder, that's great advice if you have helpers. I do not. I only allow one person on the ladder at a time. This is very difficult to do.
There's no room for a second person when I get on a ladder.
Center your body. Keep your belt buckle inside right or left rail of the ladder. And don't stand on the top three rungs. Those are our ladder safety 101. We modified these from the Consumer Public Safety Group blog and put those in. And that's our sponsor, Ladder Safety. Christmas gets a lot better if you fall off a ladder. Now, let's just stay with this decorating thing because this is both serious and also, in a way, amusing. Candles start about 11,000 plus fires each year, 150 deaths, 1,200 injuries, $173 million in property loss. Candles are a big problem. And the interesting thing is the top 3 days for candle fires are Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and New Year's Day.
Why New Year's Day?
Who lights a candle?
Why would it not be Thanksgiving Day?
I think the problem is all the Christmas candles have burned down.
Yeah, maybe.
And become unsafe. But they mentioned there are a couple of things here that are kind of interesting. But with the candles, it said candles should be burned within sight. That is, if no one's looking at the candle, put it out. It is not good to have open flames where you are not. You need to make sure that you're okay. Turn off the holiday lights when you go to bed or leave the house. Here's one that I really like, Rick. And this was actually, I put these things together. It wasn't but about 5 years ago when we first used this particular set of safety tips for decorating. Use no more than three standard size light sets per extension cord. You heard that?
No.
Three standard size. Well, I picked up some of these LED lights and they said you can now string 40 sets end to end.
Did you?
I didn't buy 40 sets. I don't have that kind of money.
So what you're saying is this three set rule, all men are going to love that because it means you have to do less?
Yeah, well,
I mean, there's always so many outlets you can plug it into.
Cords, yeah, but right now with these LED lights, you can pretty much go out to infinity if you want to light the entire block off of one plug. Apparently, and I'm not recommending it, but I'm just saying that you can. At any rate, just some thoughts on holiday safety. The other thing is, do not DUI. Do not decorate under the influence. It is best done when sober. You think? And then finally, in this fractional portion, and we're moving along fairly well now.
Are you going to bring something up that you have a minute to talk about that takes 2 minutes.
I'm going to bring something up that you've got at least a minute worth of comments on, and that is, what about those holiday feasts?
What's wrong with them? I'm fond of them.
I know that you are, but this, let's go back.
We don't
back.
Need a ladder to get to them.
Let's go back to when Gene Jones was here, and we were talking about church potlucks back last fall.
And I love my church. You're not going to get me to say anything bad about a church potluck.
No, these are family get-togethers. And in my family get-together, the meat stays out from lunch until dinner, and that's okay with everybody, apparently, except me.
Well, it depends on how much alcohol you put with it.
2 hours. two hours, unless it is actually floating in alcohol, 2 hours is all I'm going to tolerate on that. And so many times at the family gathering, you know, I think there's a couple of things. One is, you've said this before, cold salads, the pasta salads,
yeah,
potato
awful.
Salads, don't trust them. And certainly I do not trust them after about a half an hour to an hour. The magic number that Gene uses is 2 hours out. But again, you got to figure total time. So if somebody put it in their car and brought it over, you got to think about that as well. I get very nervous about this. And I wonder, I think, I'm not sure when I'm thinking about holiday epidemics. And by the way, a few years ago, we had a miserable holiday season. You could see the germs jumping from one family member to another, and it started with a progressive dinner. I don't know which house it was at, but at somebody's house, we got in trouble. I don't know if hot food can do this.
Is that really a progressive dinner? Is that being progressive?
Well,
it's an aggressive dinner.
It's an aggressive dinner for us. But I worry about the cold food, especially those cold salads. I certainly worry about the meats when they're left out. And I am very quick to abandon a holiday dinner. I will sit down for it. I will the second time around, especially if it's been out during the football game.
Well, that explains a lot.
Nervous.
That explains why, when you're out and you see all this, you just go straight for the pie.
You go for the pie. Certainly, potato chips are hard to mess up. You know, a carrot. It's very hard. You're not going to get real sick from carrot. Although, you know, the question you've got to be really inquisitive about this food. Oh, how did you make that? Is this a homemade recipe? Maybe you might want to wash off the vegetables just to be sure they've been washed. In my house, that cannot. In my family get-togethers, you can't assume that things have been washed and clean. And so, be extra careful. Kick the tires before you actually jump in the vehicle. Make sure you figure out where these foods were made, how they were made, and how long they've been out. Take a little extra time because it may save you some real holiday misery.
Right.
How about that? So there we go.
As long as you're not going to talk about something else,
nope.
We're going to be fine. We're going to let people digest that.
All right. So we've got ladder safety. We've got decorating safety. And hopefully, I mean, by now you should have the decorations up. Your tree is upside down with
a
front end loader load of presents in front of it. We're going to talk about toys. Next fractional portion,
yippee!
We're going to talk about toys. I know you can't wait, but you have to because we're going to take a break now. You're listening to Health Matters on Moorhead State Public Radio.
Hello and welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that toy because, you know, that's what we're going to talk about this second fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is our holiday shopping guide part two.
And we get to the toy. We're going straight to the back of the book. It's so cool.
Yes, that's
now,
true.
Now, Tony, when you were a kid, you did go straight to the back of the book, right? You know what I'm saying? The Sears Wish book, the JCPenney book.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when those came to the house in the mail, you always just went straight to the back page and worked your way forward.
Started looking at those things to see if, you know, what I'd seen on TV, you know, from Kenner. Remember that?
Now, think about it now. Just
there was
how
some,
much?
There was a woodpecker or something. He goes, it's Kenner. It's good or it's
you
great.
Played
or
with,
he goes,
you played with different toys than I did.
Oh, it was a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, no comment. But no, I mean, is that not something? I mean, that is one. There's a couple of little things that I really felt my children really missed out on. Now, granted, they got to do things that I didn't get to do, but they missed out on wish books and JCPenney catalogs because there was so much fun around that as a kid. And then the second thing was Saturday morning cartoons.
Yep.
That actually doesn't exist anymore. There are no, on the big main networks, there are no Saturday morning cartoons.
S&H green stamps. If you got enough green stamps at the grocery store, you can go to the Green Stamp Gift Center.
Absolutely.
And you could get something that
you couldn't
afford
And you'd have to stick them
otherwise.
On the little cards
yep.
so you could count them.
We had books and books of green stamps. I got my first tennis racket with S&H green stamps. But we digress.
No, we never progressed.
Sponsor this show again. Ladders reminding you, you could laterally hurt yourself if you fell off a ladder.
I got you all discombobulated.
That's true. This is our Ladder Safety 101, us and the Consumer Product Safety Commission combined on this one. Again, more than 13,000 people in 2010 treated for ladder in the emergency room for ladder-related injuries over the holiday season. Put your ladder on level and firm ground. Can't emphasize that enough. They do make leg levelers. If you are on a hillside, that would be a very good investment. Make sure it can support your weight. Again, I think not so much that you're going to exceed the rung capacity, but you may set that ladder up in such a way that it can't. Make sure that you're using the ladder appropriately. And then remember wet leaves and frosty wood, especially if you're running a ladder off deck lumber. That deck lumber, when it gets frosty, will be very slippy and slippery. And
slippy.
Slippy. It'll be slippy.
It's slippy.
It will be slippy, and it will just slippy right
out. The thing is
you.
If we start making fun of slippy, Hunter can't cut it out. He can't
the
edit
this
out. The
more we say slippy, the less likely it is.
It's the only guarantee that I can put in here that our listeners will get to hear
right.
us mess up.
75-degree angle. Put your toes up against the feet of the ladder. Put out your hands, and your palms should touch the rung. That's 75 degrees. Or 4 feet up is 1 foot out. 8 feet up is 2 feet out, and so forth, if you know how high you're going to set the ladder. Don't use a metal ladder near power lines. This is embarrassing. We have to tell you this. You should pay attention. Make sure the rung locks and spreader braces are set. That is, if you have one of those step ladders, make sure you've got the thing set up properly. Don't just open it and hop up on the first step. Have a helper. Hold the bottom of the ladder. That would be nice. Allow one person on the ladder at a time. Keep your body on the ladder, centered on the ladder. Keep your belt buckle between the rails at all times, and don't stand on the top three rungs. That's our ladder safety tips. Now, first of all, we're going to start off with the serious stuff, and I'm going to move fairly quickly through this, but I want to remind our radio fans of the most serious, the most dangerous things that you can get a young person for Christmas. And number one for year after year after year, number one is do not buy your nieces, your nephews, your grandchildren an ATV. The number of ATV-related injuries back in 1982, 10,000. In 2007, 150,000 ATV injuries, fatalities, 766 back in 2007. I'm using that as a marking year just to let you know. There have been more than 13,000 people killed in ATV wreck over the past 25 years, and 600 of those occurred in Kentucky. Between 2010 and 2013, Kentucky was third in the nation in our fatality rate, behind only Texas and West Virginia. We had 116 people die. 116 people died playing with ATVs during that time. 25% of those children younger than age 16. 80% are those injuries are those to the driver. Although 15% are children, they account for 27% of injuries. Over 100,000 emergency room visits in 2011. Here's the interesting thing, Rick. Since 2007, that's why I use that as my reference here. Since 2007, both accident rates and ER trips have been steadily declining. It has peaked. I don't know why it has peaked, but for some reason, our ATV injuries are finally starting to go down.
Do you think the number of people that are buying new ATVs, I mean, that the families that have ATVs will refresh them as they get older, but no, the newness of owning a ATV has kind of wore off. You think maybe everybody's bought them already?
That's one possibility. I wonder if maybe the kids have just gotten tired of riding around in circles in the mud and flipping these things over on hillsides, and maybe they've gone back inside. I don't know. Perhaps the rise of improved virtual reality games has made ATV riding less exciting. It's more exciting to do other stuff. I have no idea. Really no idea. Number two on our all-time...
Is there any chance that education is working?
It's a possibility.
I mean, isn't it bad that we're just conceding the fact that that's probably not the case?
Yeah, education is not really good for that age group. You know, it's very difficult to educate them because, again, it's the nature of being a teenager. Number two, the things that we should not buy our kids, trampolines. And again, I'll go back a few years, back in 2006, 109,000 injuries and change. Children 4 years and younger sustained over 15,000 injuries and 71,000 ages 5 to 14. Of those 109,000, most were treated in the emergency rooms and released, but there were about 5,000 either hospitalized or died, and the ones who died were due to spinal cord injuries. Again, trampolines, you can put those cases, nets around them. The problem is, especially when two people get on a trampoline, the bouncing becomes less predictable, and when they try to do tricks on the trampoline, which kids will invariably do, they can come down on their necks at an unusual angle, and it doesn't matter what you've got around the edges.
But isn't it the wrists and the ankles and the knees? There's tons of injuries with those. And you know, my poor daughters just always wanted a trampoline. And because of this radio show, you single-handedly de-trampolined my daughters.
I am so sorry.
They still won't speak to you to this day, will
well-grounded.
They?
Well-grounded. I am sorry about that.
They are well-grounded. That is a fact.
Third thing you need to be aware of is magnets. Consumer Product Safety Commission estimated between 2009 and 2011, 1,700 emergency room cases involving the ingestion of high-powered magnets. More than 70% 70% involve kids ages 4 to 12. The problem with these magnets is if you ingest one, well, you're going to be uncomfortable, and if it doesn't hang up, you will pass it. If you ingest two, they stick to each other, and you have to have surgery. You have to have surgery. And so this is very common. The kids will ingest a couple of magnets, and next thing you know, their bowels are stuck together magnetically, and they have to have those magnets removed, or they, in fact, will... they'll die. I mean, it's that simple. It's an urgent and sometimes an emergent surgery. Back in last year, 2014, Clinical Pediatrics reported a spike in toy-related injuries, and they blamed it entirely on foot-powered scooters and ride-on toys. 74% increase in injuries from 1990 to 2011. 35% of all toy-related injuries, more than any other specific toy product, come from scooters and ride-ons, particularly that at that time something called a Razor, which was a scooter with very tiny wheels. They would race along until they hit a bump and then would stop racing altogether, although the riders would not necessarily follow suit. So those are some things you've got to realize that are dangerous at any level. As a matter of fact, and let's keep this in perspective, bicycles, 250,000 injuries, more than all other toys combined. Now, we think riding a bicycle is, and it's, you know, first of all, it's good for the environment, and it is a skill that we, most of us, will teach our kids. It does come at a price, though.
Well, yeah, especially learning how to ride. How many times do you have to wear elbow pads, knee pads, a helmet, just to learn how? Because, I mean, it's just, you're going to flop over a couple times.
And so bicycles actually will send more people to the ER than trampolines, but we don't consider trampolining to be an essential adult skill, whereas we do, I believe, consider bicycling to be that. And so we're willing to sacrifice it, the risk of injury, for acquiring the skill of bicycling. But they, again, when you talk about toys, you have to think about bicycles as, and again, these scooters, pretty much anything that rolls. We've got some new things that look sort of like Segways without the handle now.
But apparently, I've seen videos of them catching fire. I've seen people falling and breaking arms. I mean, they're outlawed in New York. I mean, the hoverboard you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, from a technology standpoint, it has a high gee whiz factor, but the physical...
A lot of whizzing?
Yeah.
Not so much gee.
Well, there's a lot of controversy surrounding those. And, you know, the funny thing is I was on campus today and driving back from lunch, and I saw a student, sure enough, on the sidewalk with a hoverboard. You know, just standing there and had it going fairly slow, so it was going at the same pace of the other people, the pedestrians. I'm thinking, you know, it's just not good to mix motors and pedestrians on the same walkways.
It'll have to be addressed.
It will.
Yeah, because
it will.
These things are very popular. The problem is the good ones, the ones that are actually well made, are around $3,000 to $4,000, is what I'm hearing.
And it's easy to go see one of the $300 or $400 ones go literally up in flames.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many videos on YouTube of those things catching fire, and you know, I mean, it's pretty comical.
Now, so this is our plea to you. Think about this before you buy something for the kids. And again, hey, you're not doing your young child any favors by getting them a scooter at a young age. Realize that that's just basically an injury waiting to happen, that magnets around little kids can be very, very dangerous. But here's, just for fun, I found this, the 18 most dangerous Christmas toys of all time. Now, this was on a website, and again, keeping in mind that this is not ranked in terms of the number of injuries. This is ranked in terms of somebody's opinion, but the opinions are worth looking at. And so we'll start with number 18. Number 18, clackers. Do you remember clackers?
Vaguely.
Banned in 1985. These were glass balls that were attached with a string. You put your hand in the center of the string, you moved your hand up and down, and they made a nice clacking noise. They would clack.
They were like a ceramic ball, weren't they?
Yeah, they were like a ceramic ball. And first of all, they get a little bit wild, and next thing you know, you have this big ceramic ball. They were probably maybe
golf ball or bigger.
They were golf ball size. This thing would hit you on the wrist. So you could, the high school kids, when I was growing up, they all had these magnificent bruises on their wrist from clackers. And then, of course, eventually the ceramics, after you clack them many times, would start to degrade and the things would shatter.
Yeah, but Tony, this is coming from the era where we had jarts.
Yes. Well, jarts are on the list. Jarts are a little higher than clackers. They're coming in at number 4, lawn darts. But still, okay. So you remember clackers.
Yeah.
Number 17, something that a lot of kids my age had, wood-burning kits.
No, those are still fairly popular.
Yeah. Yeah, just take basically something that's hot enough to burn wood. And
burn it.
And put it in your hand. And this was one, I had never heard this one before, but I really like it. It's something called the swing wing. And if you look up a swing wing, this was in the early 1960s. It was a beanie cap with a thing, kind of a tassel attached to it, and you basically just rotated your head. That was all you did, and you just swung this thing around and around with your head until your brains got a little mushy and you got dizzy and you fell. It has a great musical theme. The swing wing theme is superb, and basically it was a beanie hat with a long tassel called the swing wing. I never had one of those. I never had this other one, but it was not because I didn't want it. There was something called moon shoes. They're big plastic shoes. I guess they were probably 6 inches, and they had rubber bands across them, and so you put your foot in there on these thick rubber bands, and they would help you jump.
I don't remember that.
There was no ankle support whatsoever to these things, so what would happen is basically you would hop on these things, you would jump about twice, and then you would sprain your ankle.
Never saw. I don't remember those.
And your parents would take them away. Moon shoes.
The moon walk was big when I was a kid, but not moon shoes.
Water rockets. I have one of those. You pump the thing up.
You pressurized water.
And it launches basically right, pretty much next to you. It can explode.
It somewhat explodes right next to you, as I recall.
Yeah, that was always the problem with water rockets. You just never knew exactly what T-minus you were actually at. That's number 14. Number 13, buckyballs. These were magnetic sculpture toys.
Oh, yeah. They're just magnets everywhere.
Yeah, just insanely dangerous.
This was a swallowing danger, right?
Right.
Babies were swallowing these things, and then the magnets would stick together, and...
It was not good. It was not good. Number 12, the Savage Orc Battle Hammer. It's just basically a big plastic hammer that you could just go and just whack the tower out of something.
Yeah, but it's designed for orcs, Tony. They're using it incorrectly.
This was one of the most dangerous toys in 2014, according to CBS. It's a hard plastic hammer, a 2-foot handle. So you could really clobber somebody with this. And that reminds me, they're not even on the list. Do you remember, did you have the sock'em boppers? I call them soccer boppers. These were inflatable boxing gloves.
No.
You can give somebody a concussion and not leave a mark. I mean, they were very nice. And they basically, you put these things on, you say, oh, it's perfectly safe. Now we can just go beat each other up.
Yeah.
And anyway, they're not even on the list, but I like those. The Austin Magic Pistol. It basically, it's a pistol that shoots ping pong balls. Isn't that sweet?
Yep.
Using explosive calcium carbonate. It actually shoots out fire.
I like it already.
And fires the ping pong ball. This is a historical oddity. Sky Rangers, radio controlled airplanes that exploded in midair. You know, and oddly enough,
think about the marketing plan around that. Let's let them fly it around for 5 minutes, get it way up high, and then explode it.
Or the other thing, both the helicopters and the airplanes, the propellers, of course, you know, they could hit you in the eye. Now they surround the propellers with a ring.
Right.
And you think, well, that makes a lot of sense because, you know, before, these things, they were just really dangerous. Number 9 on our all-time most dangerous Christmas toys, Easy Bake Oven.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
This thing could go up to 400 degrees.
It's a light bulb, Tony. It's a light bulb.
No, some of them baked. Some of them actually baked.
Well, that was back when they, you know, it was the easy natural gas version.
Yeah.
You know, but no, these things have a light bulb in them. You can do the same function in the Easy Bake Oven that you can do in your Light Bright.
Okay.
No, I'm serious. They obviously have made the list based on ER reports. And I mean,
yeah.
It just seems hard to hurt yourself with an Easy Bake Oven.
Number 8, Polly Pocket. It fits into a girl's pocket. However, it's got magnets.
Yep.
Any toy for small children with magnets, you've got to look at suspiciously. Magnets are not good with small kids. Number 7, one of my personal favorites on the list, Cabbage Patch Kids, Snack Time Kids. They had a battery-powered jaw that chewed food, fingers, hair, whatever, and it wouldn't stop. It would lock down on your hair or your finger, and it was the jaws of death. This little Cabbage Patch. This was like a horror movie. This Cabbage Patch Kid would eat you.
Well, when you put it that way, it does sound like a great gift.
Yeah, one girl had to have, this is again from the website, had to have two rescue workers remove it from her hair. They did voluntarily recall Cabbage Patch Snack Time Kids in 1997. Here's what blast from the past, 1970s or 1960s, Creepy Crawlers.
I remember them. It was a kit. You made your own.
Yeah, I have one. You basically heated up this metal plate to skin to third degree burn level, and then you poured some chemical. I have no idea what it was, but it had a lot of sugar in it. it, and you made your own insects. You baked your own insects, and then you could eat them. I had that, and I had a vacuum.
Could you eat them?
Yeah.
I don't remember you being able to eat them.
Yeah, you could eat them. As a matter of fact, the thing that we would do after a while is we didn't really want to make insects anymore. We would just get the sugar pouches that you bought, the refills, and we would just cut them open and just drink them.
So, yeah, pixie stick, different version of a pixie stick.
Yeah, except you were supposed to be making insects, and we were busy drinking. I'll go to number five.
How old do you have to be to understand all this humor?
Don't know. I'm hoping that some of our kids, younger people in the audience, will be shocked and horrified. Some of the older folks are now nostalgic, warmly nostalgic for all the injuries they suffered with Christmas toys.
Pretty sure Hunter hasn't laughed a single time.
Hunter is a young man, still most of his life before him. Doesn't appreciate creepy crawlers.
Probably never dealt with an easy bake oven.
Yeah, or a magic pistol that shoots ping pong balls with calcium carbide.
But you know, at some point in his college career, he's probably going to try one of the ones that's coming up soon.
All right, very quickly, number five, slip and slide.
Loved it. Loved it.
Kids had it.
That is a big boy's dream.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, obviously the problem is...
you don't go straight line.
Yeah, first guy, you're good. Perhaps you might veer off. The second guy down the slip and slide, that's where the problems start.
Well, it's less slip and less slide. It's more stick and more...
We've got, just for your entertainment, and these are incredible, our top four worst toys of all time.
But you're not going to hear them now.
No. Why will we do that when we've got the third and final fractional portion? We're going to do that, and we're also going to do some modern-day toys you have to watch out for. You're listening to Health Matters on Morehead State Public Radio.
Hello, and welcome back. This is the third and final fractional portion of Health Matters. I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to this segment. This is going to just be wonderful. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is our Holiday Shopping Guide Part 2. Our sponsor for the final time, Ladder Safety, reminding you, you could laterally hurt yourself if you fell off a ladder. This is Ladder Safety 101 the Consumer Product Safety Commission, and we adapted this for Health Matters, reminding you 250 injuries a day from falling off ladders during the holiday season nationally, and that was the numbers we had back in 2010. Reminding you, our ladder tips: put your ladder on level and firm ground. Use leg levelers under the ladder to level if you are on uneven or soft ground, and you can get those at any hardware store. Be careful about stacking boards and rocks and things like that, or just trying to push it in harder on one side. We all do it, but it's a bad idea. Number two, make sure the ladder can support your weight and the load you are putting on it. Check its maximum load rating, but in my mind, more importantly, check to make sure this ladder is set up the way it's supposed to be set up. What I have seen in my career talking to people who have been up on ladders is that when the ladder goes too flat or when you don't set it up properly, that's when the ladder tends to collapse under a load. Number three, and again, Rick and I have both seen this happen, wet leaves, wood that has frost on it is icy slick.
Right.
And is not a good medium. Yes, you have the ladder firmly ensconced on your deck. Yes, that will slip out and you will hit the deck pretty hard. Number four, set it up at the proper 75-degree angle. Put your toes against the feet of the ladder. Hold out your hands with the palms out. The palms should touch the rung that is at shoulder level, give or take. And Rick wonders if I go up or down. It sort of depends on where I have the ladder. I try to make it work. Honest. But there's another thing, a 4-to-1 rule. So if you're going to put the ladder 8 feet up on the wall, you need it 2 feet out from the wall and so forth. Number five, don't use metal ladder near power lines or electrical equipment. Wood and fiberglass ladders. Wood not being the strongest, fiberglass being rather heavy, but if you are anywhere near electrical wires, it doesn't pay to take a chance. And the ladder may not be against them when you start, but if it starts to slide, then you start to get into trouble. Number six, check the rung locks, the spreader braces on the step ladders. Make sure that your ladder is properly set up. This thing can fold up on you and get you in big trouble. Seven, have a helper hold the bottom of the ladder. Great idea. Absolutely great idea. Get your helper now. Eight, one person on the ladder at a time. And when our kids were little, there was absolutely no way. They loved getting up on the ladder to decorate the Christmas tree. And so we just tried to manage them best we could. Nine, center your body on the ladder. Don't extend yourself too far. You will pull the ladder over. Keep your belt buckle between the rails. That is an absolute rule at the Weaver House. And number 10, do not stand on the top three. I think the ladder says top two. Our guide says top three, and we agree with that. That's our sponsor, Ladder Safety. Christmas gets a lot better if you fall off a ladder. Now, we were reviewing the most dangerous Christmas toys of all time. We started with number 18, the Clackers, back from my youth. Number 12 was the Savage Orc Battle Hammer, which is just basically a big 2-foot long plastic hammer that you can whack the tar out of somebody with. We've got flame shooting ping pong guns, easy bake ovens, cabbage patch dolls that basically snack on kids. I was reminiscing about creepy crawlers and my vacuum form, which heats up to basically third degree burn level, and then you pour chemicals or put plastic on it and create forms or insects or whatever. At the end, we were talking about it. I mean, at the end, we gave up on the whole baking thing, making the insects, and we just take the little packets of, I think they were liquid
tasty.
Sugar.
They were tasty.
And we would just turn them up and eat them. We didn't really need to see the insects. We knew what insects looked like anyway. And number 5, the slip and slide. We're up to number 4.
My personal favorite.
Lawn darts.
Lawn darts.
Now, lawn darts,
commonly referred to as jarts.
Jarts. If you can imagine this,
a huge piece of metal,
probably weighing as much as a horseshoe, because that's what they were designed to replace. It is, in fact, a single arrow, and it had fins on it, plastic fins, to make sure that this thing came at you point down.
Down, right. It was designed to hit its target.
Right, and you would throw out a ring like a hula hoop, and you would stand across the yard, and you would throw these things in the air, and if you were good, you hit the hoop.
Well, no, if you played it correctly, it was like horseshoes, and you tried to get it in the hoop. But if you were an 11-year-old male in middle school, you tried to throw them as high in the air as you possibly could, and then everybody runs.
And the fins would direct them point downward, and these were...
And they're coming down.
These are bunker busters for your brain.
Absolutely.
Really. I mean, these things could go absolutely through your skull. 7,000...
These would actually put a hole in the gutter if you hit the house. I'm just saying. I'm pretty sure...
That is not a random comment.
I'm pretty sure they'll damage the gutter.
A random comment. That's great. 7,000 injuries banned December 19th, 1988. Banned them from sale in the United States. They're still around. You could probably still get them.
They're on eBay. You can get them from another country.
Honestly, why? Why in God's name would you, in fact, do that?
I mean, you know, that one's, yeah, why would you buy those?
Now, there was a toy company called Gilbert. And Gilbert Toy Company, they stretched young people's minds, I guess is the way you put it, with some pretty dangerous stuff. So coming in at number 3, and Gilbert, by the way, Gilbert was the company that invented the Erector Set.
Right.
So they did something nice. But they also did a lot of other stuff that you might want to know about. They're coming in at number 3, the Gilbert Glass Blowing Kit. This was in the 19th...
Do we have to explain what it is?
This up. Help children heat glass up to 1,000 degrees. I mean, that just blows my vacuum form and my creep.
Well, I was gonna say your wood pen only goes to 400.
Well, they by the way, they had Gilbert also made, and it's not even on the list, but back in the 1920s and 30s, Gilbert made a lead. Basically, you could pour molten lead into forms.
Well, yeah, but that's only 600 degrees.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody who makes fishing lures, you know, uses molten lead. I mean, that's still, a thousand. I mean, you're talking about, and you're getting it up close to your mouth.
Right,
when you're
blowing glass. And so there it is. That's number 3. Number 2.
But you know, how many times did you walk through that little craft fair, see that person blowing glass, to make the cups or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And how many times do you think, I can do that. I can do that.
Number 2, the CSI fingerprint kit. Well, what's wrong with the fingerprint kit?
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Tells
me there's something in there you can eat.
Actually, the powder. If you dust for fingerprints with a CSI fingerprint kit, that dust contains about 5% asbestos. Why not, kids?
But what were they thinking about?
Well, actually, the toy maker said, look, you know, you hear that, you think, oh, my gosh, my kids can't play with asbestos. Nothing is that important. Even being a CSI detective is not that important. However, the toy maker said, look, there was a lawsuit that was filed that finally got this thing off the shelf. So because he said 5% asbestos, it's probably not going to amount to anything with these kids.
So, Tony, here's the thing. I'm going to ask you a question. When you were a kid, did you ever have your mother drop a thermometer and break it on the floor, and then you would just push around the mercury with your finger?
I do remember doing that. Yeah.
I think every kid was fascinated by mercury.
Mercury was amazing.
Mercury was an amazing fluid. And so it's amazing metal, really. But, but I mean, just think about it. It's the same thing. We knew that mercury was harmful. But, hey, you know, don't pick it up. But, hey, That's so fun to push around.
We're up to number one. And this, again, not in terms
and,
of...
it's a shame. Let's be honest. It's a shame there's not a zero.
This is not, in terms of lives lost, this is not that at all. But this may be the worst design toy of all time. Back to the Gilbert Company, the people that brought us the Erector set. In 1951, for one Christmas, A.C. Gilbert, inventor of the Erector set, released the, I'm not making this up, the U-238 Atomic Energy Lamp.
Some way, Tony, come on. Every kid needs a way to put electricity in their Lincoln Logs.
They had a cloud chamber. You could watch, actually, you could see the radioactive decay. You could watch the particles. It's like they said, a magic show for your parents. They had about four different radioactive materials.
You sound like a guy who had this.
No, but can you imagine for 1 year, 1951.
How else would you put electricity in your Lincoln Log House?
Nuclear power. It sold for $49.50 in 1951.
About $1 million.
It was probably about a $500 kit.
But let's face it, you were the coolest kid on the block.
Because you had U-238 in your basement. So, and let me point out, these things might still be around. If you
were a walking Cold War.
If you happen to have, or you think you have, a U-238 atomic energy lab in your basement right now, our advice, Health Matters advice you, is do not go in your basement. Because it's been there since 1951. And we've seen the movies. We know what happens when you irradiate basement creatures with nuclear energy. So this is not good at all. But at any rate, that was, not in terms of life loss, but in terms of how weird is this. In 1951, the U-238 Atomic Energy Lab with that real radioactive materials was released for 1 year, and then for reasons not clear to us was taken off the
how
market.
Else is a young kid gonna learn about nuclear physics?
Yeah,
I mean, come on, if you were going to be that kid, you'd have to know about your nuclear physics.
Well, it would help you set up your nuclear experiments. And the other thing is, they actually had a comic book about nuclear reactions that explained it all there. It was narrated by Popeye, of all people. Not making any of this up.
You
amazing
can't
toy.
Make this up. We are not good. We're not good, but we couldn't do good fiction. This has to be true.
All right. We're going to take a slight detour here because I wanted to let Rick...
Because we don't want to do the closeout this week without actually covering the material.
No, but this is stuff I wanted just to talk a little bit, Rick. We've got enough time to do this, and I want to make sure. Intel Security, November 12th, released their, first of all, their list of the most hackable holiday gifts.
Right.
Smartwatches and fitness trackers. Absolutely hackable. And now you ask yourself, why would somebody want to hack your smartwatch? Well, I don't know what kind of friends you got, but yes. They can. And the thing about it is, if they get inside your system, if these things connect to other devices, then this will be a nice portal of entry, a fairly easy portal of entry into your credit card information and identity theft.
Well,
and so
absolutely.
Forth.
I mean, most of those Fitbits, you know, those watches, they're a way into your cell phone, where you can have a wallet stored, an electronic wallet. There's all kinds of good information that could be right there. And so, yeah, you're going to see. I mean, and let's face it, every time something new comes out, the hackers are going to try to probe the things that we're not thinking about while we're dealing with the things that they've typically been going after. So they try to stay ahead of you. So, I mean, you know, this is certainly, it's interesting, Tony, because a lot of these technology gifts, you would hear stuff like this come out a year, 2 years, 3 years after this thing's been in the wild. And now you're starting to see things that are getting talked about much sooner in the development cycle. Yeah. And so, it's almost like we've got more good cops now than hackers. And so the people are really trying to get a handle on this stuff.
Smartphones and tablets, just reminding you that the attackers can take control of the Bluetooth connections and impersonate a Bluetooth device and steal information.
This is a thing that I've always been concerned with. I mean, you have these Bluetooth devices, and one quick Google search and I can find out the Bluetooth, you know, security code, the default security code for just about any device you can buy in the store. If you don't have the ability to change the security, now in some cases a Fitbit, there's no keyboard, you can't change it. But even as something as simple as my car, I have the ability to change the security code that the Bluetooth uses to communicate with one another. Why on earth would I want to use a default code that came with it that anybody, I mean, It, like I said, it would take me all of 8 seconds to figure out the security code that is connecting your Bluetooth device to your computer.
And here's why we're talking about it now. Kids' gadgets, ebooks, social apps, remote control cars, and even phones. Kids love this sort of thing. But security for many of these things is rarely considered. I mean, again, these children's toy manufacturers, they'll put something that has internet connections, and they don't even, security is minimal, if at all. Now, here's some tips. And Rick, I'll get your, I want to bounce these off you and see what you think. First of all, they mentioned with Wi-Fi.
Right.
However you pronounce it.
Wi-Fi.
Watch out public wireless hotspots. Do not do sensitive transactions on a public wireless service.
Correct.
Passwords. Create unique passwords across devices and accounts.
So Tony, I don't know, when you're on a web page, do you ever even pay attention to whether it starts off with HTTP or HTTPS?
I do not.
Well, that's the difference in the security for the most part when you look at it. Now, a lot of times these newer browsers will show the actual address bar will be a different color. Usually it's green if the security is based on certificate. So certificates, we can go into this one of these days, but certificates are a way that the server and the computer can exchange information and determine that they're actually the right thing. And so your address bar will go green. If it's bad, it'll go red. And so it should, if you see, let's face it, on health matters and in life, red is bad. Okay, red is bad. Yeah. Orange is danger. Red is danger. If you see red on your browser and something you're not used to seeing red, please pay attention because that means you're probably going down some unsecure path. But it's amazing how many people will just click, oh, okay, continue, and they won't even pay attention to the fact
that
they're going
unsecure. Now, keep in mind, and they make this point, that people can impersonate the web page you're trying to get to.
But not the security certificates.
Right, right.
They cannot do that, and it's very difficult to do.
So you say, look, I know this web page. It's fine. I've been here before. It might look like your web page.
Correct. But when you pull it up, the browser will tell you. The other thing, too. Now, we may have legitimate businesses that'll call us and complain because there probably are a few legitimate businesses that may get singled out by my generalization here. I apologize to you in advance, but for the most part, if you go to a web page that ends in two digits, be leery. You know, be leery. I mean, don't go to something.se. I'm sorry. That's 9 times out of 10, you're leaving this country, and then you're suspect of different laws, different rules, just don't do it.
There you go. Bluetooth. If you're using a Bluetooth connection, leave it turned off unless you need it, and make sure that you password protect your Bluetooth connection.
A side benefit to that, what you don't realize, the battery doesn't die and the thing is fast.
Because it's always trying to connect, and you really don't need something that does that. One other thing that I'll mention, and then we're going to get off the air. They mentioned for children's toys especially, use a different billing and delivery address than your home address. For someone who preys on kids, for someone who's trying to hack a child's toy, a home address is the absolute target. And so it makes sense to me, and this was recommended by a security expert, don't use your home address when putting a child's toy online. And also, don't listen to Health Matters anymore because we're going off the air.
Special thanks to Morehead State Public Radio producer Hunter Reese and to Eric Bilber, who wrote our Health Matters theme song, and to you, our loyal radio fans. Remember to show your support for Health Matters by visiting our digital empire. To listen to the show, go to WMKY.org. Visit us on Facebook. Just do a search for HM Radio Show.
For our radio crew and the supportive folks at the Northeast AHEC, thanks for listening to our show. And remember,
our show contains breaks for commercials and refreshments. This means parts of Health Matters can break off and cause choking hazard for young children.
Excessive laughter while listening to Health Matters can cause falls.
Which is rare.
Landing on your head or neck can cause serious injury, paralysis, or death, even when you land on something soft.
Health Matters should only be heard with adult supervision. Children under 12 should wear protective gear. This show will not save you if you jump off the roof of your garage.
Not that I've ever done that.
Although it might get you a girlfriend. Health Matters could put your eye out. Boy, there's
absolutely
a Christmas tip. Anyone within close distance should be wearing a helmet when we shoot off our mouths.
Whatever you do, do not take Health Matters lying down. Get out this week, make a healthy change in your life, and then tune in next week for a Health Matters special investigation. Was Gene Autry, the singing cowboy, a space alien, and did he predict Amazon.com and delivery drones back in 1953? I mean, come on, click, 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 and down through the chimney comes your gift. Where does that come from?
Ooh.
Next week on Morehead State Public Radio.